your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to part two of this crossover edition of the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, where I bring on John Schick of the Locked On New York Rangers podcast to discuss Gerard Gallant. We discuss the 2016 season and the 2021 season and what the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers went through from their times of making the playoffs back in the mid-2010s all the way to missing the playoffs, where both the Panthers and the Rangers had a few seasons where they both did not make it, and what the future outlook looks like on the side of both teams for the Cats and the Blue Shirts. So this one is part two of our conversation. If you haven't listened to part one yet, I highly advise you to go pause this and go back to part one of this conversation and queue up this episode, where it'll play right after part one in your podcast feed, wherever you may listen to this podcast. So now let's go back to our conversation with the host of the Locked On New York Rangers podcast, John Schick.
To just kind of change gears a little bit, I was kind of looking at a list of, you know, impending free agents, and, you know, I went to the Panthers and I looked at some of your RFAs and UFAs, and, you know, a couple of names that jump out for me, and of course, you know, the Panthers roster a lot better than I do, but, you know, Sam Bennett is an RFA, Alex Wennberg is an unrestricted free agent, Brandon Montour, an unrestricted free agent. Is there anyone, you know, any of those guys or anybody else that you feel like the Panthers just absolutely have to hang on to and give some kind of long-term extension to? Anything like that? Anybody who really kind of jumps out to you there?
Two players are you must keep. And those are Sam Bennett, who they traded two second-round picks for. Well, a second-round pick and a former second-round pick from the 2020 draft in Emil Heimann to Calgary. And after how well Sam Bennett was able to play with Jonathan Huberdeau on the second line, they've solidified that second line center for the time being. And Anthony Duclair, I'll be happy if they do re-sign him, but I won't lose sleep if they don't. And the other one is Gustav Forsling, who was a player that the Florida Panthers picked off on waivers from the Chicago Blackhawks. And when Aaron Ekblad went down with injury, Forsling was inserted on the first line, and he played so well after being inserted there. And he has, in my opinion, a spot on this roster for next season. And I think that's one of the players that you should protect in the expansion draft with Seattle coming into the mix. And I think those two are if I had to choose two that are must that you should keep, it's those two. As far as UFAs, Wennberg, I think he walks because he's going to command a little bit more money based on his career high season, but it'd be cool to have him back because they also signed their first round pick from last year, and Anton Lundell, to his ELC. So I think that with him signing his ELC, I think he's going to skip the AHL after leading Finland in points in the recent IIHF World Championships and helping Finland win bronze in the World Juniors just last season. So I think he's going to cover the 3C role on the Florida Panthers starting next season. So Lucas Walmark is headed back to the KHL in Moscow. As of 2 days ago, he signed a contract there. So Lucas Walmark won't be returning to the Panthers, it doesn't look like. And so, yeah, those are the players that I think that if must are Bennett and Gustav Forsling are the 100% you have to keep them. You have to find a way to get them back on the roster. And thank goodness for the Florida Panthers, they're RFAs, not UFAs.
Exactly. That can make all the difference in the world. And I think Bennett makes a ton of sense because I believe you guys traded for him before last season. I know he hasn't been there for very long. But, you know, that's where the Rangers are lucky, too, because they only have two unrestricted free agents. And they are Jack Johnson, who I don't think there's any chance he'll be back. And the other one is Brennan Smith. And you know, that could go either way. Maybe he's back on a one-year team-friendly deal, kind of like a little bit of a stopgap option on the blue line there. And of course, you know, he does play with some toughness. He's the guy who ended up fighting Tom Wilson after all those shenanigans. And, you know, he was really the only player on the on the Rangers who could even begin to step up to Tom Wilson. And, you know, even he's going in as a big underdog in that fight. But, you know, beyond that, for me, it's more about getting ahead of some things, because after this upcoming season, Mika Zibanejad and Ryan Strome, the top two centers on the team, are both unrestricted free agents. And I think with Mika, you know, he obviously got off to just a really tough start to this season. But at the end of the season, we found out that that was largely due to his bout with COVID. Obviously, his overall numbers suffered because of this. And he was back to being the Mika Zibanejad that we all know and love by the end of the season. But to me, if you're the Rangers, man, you know, I'm sitting down with Mika Zibanejad this offseason, and I'm trying to get ahead of this thing, man. Can we hammer out some kind of a long-term deal? Can we give you some kind of 4, maybe 5-year extension? I mean, Mika's been around, but he's still only 28 years old, so it's not like he's ancient. And I feel like the Rangers can really do themselves a favor by getting ahead of that situation.
Yeah, and with the expectations of New York to be contending next year, at least battling for at least a wild card or a 2-3, it's going to be a big year for Zibanejad to earn his contract, and that this could be a really good situation for Zibanejad. But I also look at I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now, and I see, as just the forwards, before even scrolling down, I see 6 players on their ELCs right now. So the youth movement in New York is great. And
oh yeah,
and I'm looking at the blue line as well, another 5 on the blue line. So the and their best goalie prospect right now in, well, not prospect, I wouldn't call him a prospect anymore, Igor Shesterkin, who there's a lot of confidence in Shesterkin this season as far as it goes for the Rangers. And I'm seeing that he's an RFA as well this coming off season. But I don't see a reason why the Rangers wouldn't qualify an offer for Shesterkin.
No, I'm with you. I've been saying all along, with Mika and Igor, they're kind of in the same boat. I would get ahead of this with Igor Shesterkin. I would give him some kind of a long-term deal, because, I mean, you need a goalie. You need to have a franchise goalie in this league. I know that recently there's kind of been this narrative that, well, you know, in the playoffs, we don't necessarily see goalies dominate the way that they used to, and I completely disagree with that. And if you need any proof of it, I mean, look at the four teams who are still standing right now. I mean, they've all got one, if not two, phenomenal goalies. So, they drafted Igor in the 4th round. They've loved him from day one. He put up video game numbers everywhere he's been. You got to hang on to this guy. You got to get him signed long term. I would absolutely do that if I was the Rangers.
It's funny, because another 4th rounder that I think of that was playing out of his mind was from the what's his name from the Predators, it's slipping my mind,
Saros.
And that's another player that's playing out of his mind, and after the Predators drafted a goalie in round one just this past season. So it's crazy, and the goalies don't get drafted early on all the time in the draft, and the Rangers found one like in the middle of the draft, and they found, and yeah, you gotta hold on to Shesterkin. And it's funny, one thing that the Panthers and the Rangers really have in common is that goalie hasn't really been an issue really too much in at least the last decade. The Panthers had Roberto Luongo, who just recently got his number retired last season, and in 2 different stints with the Florida Panthers, and is 4th all time in wins. And the Rangers had Henrik Lundqvist for a long time, was their goalie in their run to the Stanley Cup final in 2014. And we're hoping that one day he gets to suit up again, and we're hoping that he has a speedy recovery and he gets to suit up. It's hard to see that he's I'm sure for you, it's hard to see him in a Metropolitan Division / East for this year team, but I can only assume that Ranger fans are just not only rooting for him on the ice, but off the ice as well. And he's a legend in that town. And I can only imagine how much they're rooting for him.
And granted, this is before, you know, all the shenanigans with Tom Wilson and everything. And my dislike for the Capitals basically just kind of shot through the roof. But I mean, had Henrik Lundqvist gotten to play with the Capitals this season, and there was a situation where the playoffs started and the Capitals were in the playoffs as they were, and the Rangers didn't make it as they did not make it, 100%, I was going to be the biggest bandwagon Capitals fan you've ever seen, whether he was actually even playing in these games or not. Because I always say, man, you know, it doesn't matter if you're like one of the greatest players of all time, or you're kind of like, you know, the last guy off the bench, a fourth liner, your name goes on that Stanley Cup in the same font as everybody else's. And I would just love to see that image, man. I got to see Henrik Lundqvist lift the Stanley Cup. It'd be crazy if somehow he came back and, you know, ends up somehow lifting a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, so I can only imagine, like I said, how much they're rooting for him. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. There's coconut almond, coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. You know what my favorite flavor is? It's the peanut butter brownie. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. A couple of other flavors have 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors. All tasty, all healthy. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So let's talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. So in this COVID season with 4 different divisions, the Canadian division having their own based on the border restrictions between USA and Canada. It was a really strange season that, like, and not going to lie, because of the division realignments and only facing off against 7 different teams, it didn't really at least give many fans an opportunity to watch teams outside of their own divisions. I'm not gonna lie to you, John. I didn't because of the division realignment, I was more as when the Panthers weren't on, weirdly, I was watching more of Stars Predators or Blackhawks Red Wings more often than a Rangers Islanders game. Or I mean, I definitely did tune in to the game where the Rangers and Capitals did play, because that was a nationally televised game after the Tom Wilson, Pavel Buchnevich, and Artemi Panarin situation. And funny enough, I was recording a podcast as I was watching that live because I needed to see what the repercussions were going to be. So talk about this season with like the division realignments, and did you get an opportunity to really watch a lot of teams outside of the New York Rangers this season?
I really didn't, man. I mean, I was really just kind of locked in on everything that was happening in the East Division. And then basically every now and then, not every now and then, pretty commonly, I would just kind of catch highlights, you know, on the NHL Network or whatever it might be, get a standings update every now and then. But I'm with you, man. It really kind of felt like, you know, all of us locked on post and really just hockey fans everywhere. Everybody was kind of just sectioned off into these 4 quadrants this season. And it almost felt like there were 4 different NHL leagues almost operating independently of each other until now, obviously, because there's only one team left standing from all 4 of the divisions. But yeah, it was crazy. It's definitely a very unique season. And obviously, I understand why they did it. The pandemic was still very much a thing when the season started, and they're trying to cut back on travel, especially international travel. And so, you know, I enjoyed this season for what it was. It was unique, only playing teams in your division. But I will say, and you can let me know what you think about this too, Armando, but you know, I think next season I'm ready to go back to how it usually is. I love the division matchups, but if you're only playing teams in your division, just like everything else, man, it stops being special after a little while. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to go back to normal, you know, in a lot of different ways, but also with hockey as far as the scheduling is concerned for next season. But I mean, how do you feel about that?
I'm looking forward to it as well. And seeing, the one question I always asked myself with the Florida Panthers is, how would they do with this version of the team that they had in 2020, 2021? How would they do in a division with Boston, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Montreal, Detroit, Buffalo? And how would they do in a division? And I still think that they could have at least been a one or two in the Atlantic division. And then along with seeing teams out west, I wanted to see how the Florida Panthers did against a Vegas Golden Knights, a stacked Vegas Golden Knights team. How they would, I would love to see the Florida Panthers play Connor McDavid, because the reality is I don't watch Connor McDavid every night. I don't watch Nathan MacKinnon every single night. That's just the reality of it. And now both the Panthers and the Rangers get to see the newly formed Seattle Kraken next season. So that is going to be really special for next season, and hopefully a season that begins to definitely grow the game more, as with the new TV deal with ESPN and Turner Sports, this is an opportunity. Not only with the 32nd team added, but with a new TV deal, it definitely gets to grow the game, and maybe these players get to be marketed a lot better, because let's be honest, like the NHL when it comes to marketing is not the best when it comes to it. And I think that had a lot to do with the TV deal that they had with NBC and only one network that was not competing with another. So I'm going to steal a quote from Joe DiBiase of Locked On Sabres. He said that it began to be stale, and now that there's competition between ESPN and Turner, they're going to be looking at each other as broadcasts are happening and see what they can adjust, and there's going to be growing pains between those two stations. And I think it's going to be good for the game.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it feels like for the first time in a long time, there really is some momentum here. It actually feels like the game could get a little bit bigger. I think, you know, maybe one of the ultimate parameters here is, you know, take a look. Think about a friend of yours who maybe really isn't the biggest hockey fan. They don't really watch a lot of hockey. Odds are they've at least heard of Alex Ovechkin. They know that he's on the Capitals. They've probably heard of Sidney Crosby. They know that he's on the Penguins. As far as my friends go that are not hockey fans, I don't think anybody knows who Connor McDavid is. I don't think anybody knows who Nathan MacKinnon is, or even Artemi Panarin. And so, you know, you got to start marketing these players one way or another. You got to get their names out there and look how good these guys are and just make a big deal out of them. And I hope that's coming. It doesn't help that, you know, I mean, you look at networks like ESPN, they make no attempt to even hide their disdain toward hockey, and they just refuse to cover the sport. And that doesn't help either. But the NHL doesn't really do much to help itself either. I think you got to do a better job of, you know, marketing these players and, you know, getting it to the point where, you know, Nathan MacKinnon can't walk down the street without being recognized, just to use him as an example.
Most definitely. And it's funny, ever since they signed the TV deal with ESPN, you see a little bit of ESPN being talked to, a little bit of hockey being talked on ESPN now. For example, on First Take, Stephen A. Smith was talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs after blowing a 3-1 series lead against Montreal, comparing them to calling them the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. So yeah. I thought that was a little comical and pretty awesome. Of course, Stephen A. Smith has even said that he's not really a hockey guy, but he definitely has interest in the sport and he'd like to learn more of it. Charles Barkley, who does Inside the NBA, he said that he wouldn't mind learning more about the game as well. So with even the people who aren't what quote unquote hockey experts or hockey guys or gals, it with the sport being brought to their network, even the people who are in front of the cameras for other sports who have more of an expertise are going to gain some interest as well, along with the fans.
I always joke, man. I always say, you know, to kind of point the spotlight at the Stanley Cup playoffs, be even more specific about this here, but I always say, there are two types of people in this world. There's people who love the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's people who have never given the Stanley Cup playoffs a chance. I really think that, like, if you're a sports fan, if you're into football, if you're into baseball, basketball, whatever it might be, if you just sit down and stay off your phone and actually just lock in to an NHL playoff game for 10 or 15 minutes, you're going to have a hard time looking away. You're going to have a hard time changing the channel. And I just feel like NHL just has to find a way to get people to give the sport a chance. I think you can get them pretty fast once you get them, once you get their eyes feasted on a playoff game.
Absolutely. And what got me to love the Florida Panthers was a playoff run in 2012 when they won the Southeast Division at the time, before the division realignments, when the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg, causing another division realignment. It was the Southeast at the time, and that's what got me into hockey and into the Florida Panthers. So sometimes it takes something in order to gain a fan. And now I could really, after being a fan for almost a decade, I'm a diehard. This is the Panthers, along with the Miami Dolphins, are like my 1A and 1B of the teams that I hold really, really, really close as like the teams that I really pay attention to, like literally like year round. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news and odds and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news and sign up bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sideline anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. So I want to transition to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's funny, John, not a single one seed from any of the divisions made it to the semifinals. The North Division had a four. The East Division that the New York Rangers are in has a four with the New York Rangers. The Central has a three with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the West has a two, even though the Vegas Golden Knights tied the Colorado Avalanche with points. What are your impressions on the Stanley Cup playoffs right now?
I mean, they've been fantastic. I thought that Avalanche and Knight series was absolutely just appointment television. I did not want to miss a single second of it. Really wish it would have gone to seven games, because, I mean, I think that's, you know, probably one of the best playoff series that I've seen in the past, however many years you want to go back. The skill level, the speed of both those teams was just off the charts. The intensity was off the charts. It was fantastic. You know, Montreal, I don't think Ranger fans necessarily are the biggest fans of them, especially if you're an old school fan, because the Canadians beat the Rangers back in 79 in the Cup Finals. But you have to admire what they did. I mean, nobody was picking the Canadians to do anything in the playoffs this year. And of course, they fall into that 3-1 series hole, and they win game 5 in overtime, they win game 6 in overtime, and they win game 7. And, you know, here they are tied with the Knights in the semifinals here. And then as far as the East goes, I mean, it's a situation where it's kind of unique, because obviously being a Ranger fan, I'm not going to root for the Bruins or the Islanders or the Capitals or the Penguins. But the nice thing about that was you knew that only one of those four teams could make it past the second round. And that's obviously what happened. And, you know, it's a great series so far between Tampa and the Islanders as well. As far as, you know, who I think is going to make it, I'm going to stick with what I said when the semifinals started, which is Knights versus Lightning. I think Lightning and Islanders is going 7. I think maybe the Knights, maybe winning like 6 games against the Canadians, you know, we'll see. But I think Knights and Lightning would be just a heck of a Stanley Cup Finals matchup. And, you know, we talk about certain things being good for the game. I think when you've got just tremendously skilled players on both sides of the ice in the Stanley Cup Finals, as we would have with that matchup, I think that would be a fantastic thing. And, I mean, that's my pick. I mean, I also said Avalanche versus Penguins when the playoffs started, so that shows how much I know. But hey, you know, I think Knights and Lightning would be a tremendous finale. And how about you, man? I mean, is there anybody you're rooting for? Is there anybody that you know, you think is going to win the cup? Who you'd like to see win the cup? Anything there?
I'm going to wear two different hats. Okay. I'm going to wear my fan hat. I'm going to wear my objective hat. My fan hat is rooting for Habs Islanders in this one. I'm rooting for both. I want number one, the underdog, to win, and the fan in me, of course, can't root for the Tampa Bay Lightning, the division rival in our state. and along with the Vegas Golden Knights about how what happened in the previous expansion draft with losing Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith, Gerard Gallant getting fired and having instant success. Though I was rooting for those individual people, it was really tough to see that even though the Panthers have been waiting since 96 to even win a playoff series, that the Vegas Golden Knights were just going to come in to the league and have this instant success. So it's not something I want for Vegas. So I'm going to put a different hat on, the objective hat. What I think is going to happen. What I think is going to happen is Vegas versus Tampa Bay as well. I think that's I wouldn't say an easy pick, but I think that it just seems the more logical pick, like what's on paper. And I think if there's, like you said, I think if there's one series that's going to go the distance, I think it's going to be the Islanders Lightning series, because this is the second year in a row that they're facing off against each other in, well, this isn't called the Eastern Conference final this year, the semifinal this year, because
right.
After meeting in the Edmonton bubble last year after traveling from Toronto to Edmonton. So this, I think with the Islanders, I think with them stealing one, I think it makes it a little interesting, but it is if Tampa Bay steals one in Nassau Coliseum, and right now as of this recording where it's 1-0 in the first intermission with the Tampa Bay Lightning leading, Yanni Gord was the one who scored the first goal. If they find a way to win either one of these, because think about it like this, the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't have home ice advantage in the first two rounds at all. They didn't have it in the first round against Florida. They didn't have it again against the Carolina Hurricanes, and they were still able to win on the road and at home. And the fact that they made it to the semifinals still, and they finally got home ice for the first time, though they lost it in game one against New York. If they pick up this road victory, I just don't see a reason how they're going to lose this series. And with Vegas, I just think that with Montreal, I don't see how Carey Price can carry the full load not all by himself, but with such a young team in Montreal against this really stacked Vegas Golden Knights team. And Carey Price has had such an incredible run, turning back clock in these playoffs after winning in seven, after coming back 3-1 against Toronto, sweeping the Winnipeg Jets after everything that happened in game one with the empty net goal at the very end, causing the suspension to Mark Scheifele. And what Carey Price is doing, he was incredible in game two, but can he do it four times in this? And I'm not sure. I think when it comes to the firepower that the Vegas Golden Knights have versus what Montreal has, and Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki is a great story. Suzuki, a former Vegas Golden Knight who they traded for Pacioretty. I just don't know if Montreal can do that four times.
No, I agree. And, you know, even with Carey Price and Ned, obviously he's the ultimate X factor, but Vegas has a heck of a goalie in Marc-Andre Fleury themselves. So, I mean, even if Price keeps playing at the level he's at, I don't know that it's going to end with them winning four games before Vegas does, just to oversimplify it, basically. But, you know, Armando, this was a ton of fun, man. I really appreciate you giving us all some insight into Gallant. And obviously this is a ton of fun, you know, just talking some hockey in general. And we'll definitely have to do this somewhere down the line, maybe when the Rangers and Panthers are playing each other next season.
Yeah, definitely. And with the schedule hopefully going back to normal, and with Canada opening at least for travel for the semifinal, it really gives me hope that we're going to have an 82-game season with hopefully some travel to the Canadian teams as well next season. So I'm looking forward to it. And yes, definitely we got to have a crossover when both of our teams play next season.
Absolutely. And Ranger fans, Panther fans, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
And thank you once again to John Chick of the Locked On New York Rangers podcast for having this conversation with me to talk some Gerard Gallant, the state of the New York Rangers, the state of the Florida Panthers, and the state of the current NHL Stanley Cup playoff landscape between Montreal, Vegas, the New York Islanders, and the Tampa Bay Lightning as well. And just a warning that this recording between John and I was recorded in the middle of Game 3 between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders series. So by the time this comes out, the results of Game 3 between Habs, Vegas Golden Knights will have already happened, as well as Game 4 of the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the New York Islanders series as well. So we were talking about our updates at that time, but nothing after that was known. So hey, you guys, maybe we might be wrong about what we predict about what will happen and what's going on with the Stanley Cup playoffs. So just a bit of transparency there that I wanted to provide for you, the listener. So if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast so you'll be notified every single time the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast arrives into your podcast feed. Don't forget to also subscribe to Locked On NHL and the Crosscheck NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, where they will be breaking down the 2021 Stanley Cup playoffs. And when you're done listening to this episode, make sure to tell your smart device to play today's episode of Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the new Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So I'm Armando Velez, signing off. And you've been listening to Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.